Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, we have Marissa Vicario. Today's show, I'll tell you a little bit about her from her official bio, just to give you a preview in a second. But this is one of the shows where we focus on a slightly different topic. We absolutely are talking about her journey to better health and some of the lessons that she learned. But I don't want to say more importantly, equally as important, what we're talking about on this show that I think is going to be of interest to a lot of our listeners is how Marissa took her passion for fitness, health, and wellness and what she'd been able to do in her own life and turned that into an opportunity to leave corporate America, leave cubicle life, if you will, and build her own business successfully online. There's so many people in our community that are listeners of this podcast that have such a passion, and it's so typical. Once you start changing your life, you want to pass that on. You want to share it with others. Well, there's a real way to do that, change lives, but also have that be a secondary or primary way of making income. Why do I feel that it is important, excuse me, to share this on our Fitfluential Radio podcast? You'll hear me talk about this in a separate episode, but one of the big themes we'll be covering this year is stress reduction. And what could possibly create more stress in so many lives for most of us than our jobs? And I would say secondly, and tied to that, our income, or maybe it's our lack of income or not enough income. I feel very strongly about showcasing individuals like Marissa who have successfully transitioned to doing what they love and making a really good income. And please note, I'm not necessarily saying everyone that we showcase in these episodes is a multi-zillionaire. That's not what we're trying to get across. This isn't about a get-rich-quick scheme in any way. Different people are doing different things. What I want to show is that if you are working 9 to 5 or 6 to 6, or if you're in a job that is draining you, where you feel like it's back to the grind, where you dread your Mondays, if you are stressed out because of the red tape and the politics where you work, I've been there. So many of us have been there. And what I want to show, because it ties to your health and your wellness, is that there are other options and you could be doing what you love. Maybe it's making the same amount of money that you make now, but if you're working from home office and you're cutting down on your commute time and you have the flexibility to work, maybe take Fridays off and work more hours Monday through Thursday. All of those things affect quality of life. And when you affect your quality of life and you start living life and you get more rewards and joy from what you do for a living, that will impact your health in a bigger way than almost anything else. And that's why I'm going to make sure we have a lot more of these episodes where we interview folks that have done this, because I know if you're like me, when I was in corporate America, I looked at entrepreneurs as people without jobs, essentially, and I was very skeptical. So I think the more that you start to hear some of these interviews with people that are successfully doing something that's maybe a little bit off the radar and really loving their lives, you will be encouraged to do potentially the same thing. Just a little bit about Marissa, and you'll hear this in the show. Marissa Vicario is an award-winning, board-certified integrative health and nutrition coach, a healthy living blogger, and a women's health and lifestyle expert. She's the founder of Marissa's Wellbeing and Health. She is passionate about teaching women to trust themselves to make nutritious, slimming, and energizing choices without resorting to fad diets and all juice cleanses. Her tips, recipes, and expertise have been featured on The Dr. Oz Show, The New York Times, Entrepreneur Magazine, Glamour, and Next Generation TV, among others. She is a wonderfully down-to-earth human being. I think you'll pick up on that. She's very modest, but love her blog, love everything she's putting out online. And I think you're going to come away from this motivated both on the fitness side of things, but also potentially on the entrepreneurial side of things. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this interview with Marissa Vicario. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa. And as I stated in the intro, today I have Marissa with me live. Marissa, are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
I'm so excited to chat. I think this is going to be twofold a fantastic conversation because a lot of what we're going to delve into is how you, in the second part of this interview, how you went from your corporate world, making your living and your career, if you will, to pursuing your passion and making your living from fitness, wellness, nutrition. And there's so many people that are listening to our podcast that want to do that. They've been pursuing a fitness lifestyle for a while. And then a lot of them, like myself, I want to get my personal training certification. I want to be able to help people, but also have the education behind it to give them even a little bit more. And I'm excited to do that. And it's a very common path. So I'm excited to have you provide some more information on how you did it, what that transition was like. But before we dive into that, because everybody's going to want to tune in for that, I always like to ask guests when they're on our show for the first time to share their backstory. You know, some people find their fitness later in life. You know, some people start and they had a very athletic upbringing with their family and they started when they were very young. I'm curious for you, tell our listeners, when was it that you first became interested in leading a fitness lifestyle, if you will, becoming healthy? Mm-hmm. And was it at the same time that you think you really found your fitness, or was it an evolution where maybe later you found what really worked for you and what was comfortable for you?
Okay, I love to tell this story. I hope it doesn't get too long. I'll try to give you the condensed version of it. I found my fitness when I was 17 years old. I was in high school. I think I was like a junior or senior in high school. And one of my close friends, her older sister's friend was a substitute teacher in one of our classes. And she taught step aerobics. Okay. Now I know I'm really dating myself
here. I remember step.
I'm sure. Yeah. You and I are probably like the only people that remember step.
So step Reebok for the win.
Yeah. So she taught step aerobics and she at a local gym, and this was in Louisville, Kentucky, where I grew up. And she said, you should come take a class. And so I went to a class. It was my first class, actually my first time ever really exercising, except for our physical education classes and playing kind of team sports in elementary school. I had done dance before, but I hadn't really done a lot of exercise. And from my first class, I was hooked, and I would go after school 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I would go to step aerobics and loved it. And then I just loved the way I felt after I exercised, that, you know, endorphin high that you get. And through college, I kept exercising. I still did step aerobics when I went to college and the elliptical here and there. But I found in college, I found running when I kind of got tired of step aerobics, and I started to run. And I would go to the gym in my college and run on the treadmill. And I started out pretty slow, and I would slowly add more and more miles. And I found that I really enjoyed that. And so running is kind of was that, and some Pilates that I did in college as well. And then running has kind of sustained me throughout my adulthood. That's been with me ever since. In addition, I've tried everything. So I found, once I graduated from college, I found yoga, and then on and on and on. I've tried almost pretty much every workout, but I always liked running. And then I eventually started to train for triathlons and half marathons, marathons, and I was really enjoying that as well. Then I got to a point where I wasn't seeing the same results. I wasn't feeling as good with all the training that I was doing. So I started to incorporate bar into my cross training. And I found that when I was doing bar, I felt so much stronger. It was like really great cross training for my running. I was a stronger runner. I was faster. I could just felt more like I had more stamina. And so eventually what ended up happening was I started to really fall in love with bar, and I ended up becoming a bar instructor, and I trained to be a bar instructor last year, and I still run from time to time, but I do a lot more bar these days.
I love bar.
Yeah.
You know what? Can I interrupt you? I already interrupted you, so I'm just saying that, can I? But for those that are listening now, they should be familiar, but there might be somebody who's listening to this and this is their first episode and they're like, bar? Mm-hmm. You know, there are people on this planet, I can't believe it, that don't have any idea. We're talking about B-A-R-R-E. What, for somebody who's a complete, utter newbie, how do you describe a bar workout to them?
So it's basically, it's small movements that are repetitive. They use typically your own body weight or light weights or some other props like a ball or a mat to engage the smaller muscles of your body. So you're basically strengthening your core and strengthening some of those muscles that we don't work when we're doing those larger range of movements like running or cycling. And it's just a really amazing workout. I mean, I think you have to, it's one of those exercises you have to try to really get it and really understand what I'm talking about, but it becomes very addictive.
It is. It's intense. In fact, last week I was kind of, as I call it, on the bench. I had some medical complications and I was not allowed to work out for quite a while. And then the first workout that I did when I got back in, because I had to watch about raising my blood pressure, I couldn't wait to another day. And I'm like, I'm going to do a bar workout because I knew it was intense, but it wasn't going to, you know, be as crazy as maybe some of my more cardio or HIIT focused sessions that I do. And I'm telling you, like, I love what you said earlier about how bar, it helped your running and your marathon training. And I do, I find that it's so different and it's so challenging in such a different way that it helps what I do in the gym when I'm training with my trainer. And I just love it. It's completely different than what I get out of yoga. It's so unique and it is so much more intense than you can possibly imagine. So I do encourage, we'll put some links up in the post as well. And we've got plenty of bar links to different bar movements and workouts. And we'll link to your site, of course. It's a tremendous workout. So again, I'm glad you brought that up and provided some clarification. So please continue with your fitness story.
Well, that's in a nutshell, that's really it. You know, I've tried everything. And I think now I found my fitness when I was 17 years old in the sense that I understood what it meant to exercise for the sake of feeling good and for stress relief and for fitness. But I think it's taken me many, many, many years and many, many iterations of that to really, truly find what works for me. And I think also I would add that different things work for us at different times in our life. So at one point it was triathlon and marathons and now that's not what it is. But I'm grateful for all of it and I love all of it.
That is amazing. And I think that I always like to get that across to people that are listening to the podcast, but just in general that maybe follow me on social to let them know, like, fitness, it really is, it should be for life. For me, it shouldn't be like, oh, I'm going to punish myself by working out because I'm not healthy. Like, you shouldn't go into it that way. And you should understand that even though if you're a newbie, some of these things might seem like it's another world, it's out of your comfort zone, it's going to be hard, you will end up loving it. You'll be surprised at what your body is capable of doing at any age. It is not just for folks that are in there, you know, that are 17, like when you started. You will find that you know, if you treat your body like a temple and you treat yourself by exposing yourself to all of these different things to see what really fits for you, to me, that's finding your fitness. You know, try different things. You might love Zumba. You might love CrossFit. You might love yoga and running. You might love yoga, running, and a little bit of CrossFit. You never know. But try all those things and it will evolve with you as your lifestyle evolves, as your goals evolve, as your preferences evolve. So it's cool because there's so many different things. And I love seeing the fitness landscape, if you will, change, where people have a much more hybrid approach now. They're not labeling themselves. I see more men doing bar, right?
Oh,
you would typically think it's men would look at it and go, oh, that's ballet. That's not me. Mm-hmm. Men get it. And then you see people that formerly were like, I'm just yoga. I'm vegan. This is me. Now they're trying new things. And maybe you have folks that are strictly paleo starting to say, I'm doing meatless Mondays. And I'm going to start doing not just CrossFit, but incorporating yoga and walking, power walking. I mean, do what you love. So I love hearing your journey and how you've changed so much and you're not tied to one thing. And you certainly seem like somebody who tries a lot of new things. And that's what we encourage everybody to do. So that said, I'm sure that somewhere in there is when, and please just tell us in the story, you know, the subject of what we're talking about today is how you went from and advising others in this show, mm-hmm. advising how you went from corporate, like corporate America, which is my background too, to pursuing what you do now, which is you have a career, you have your business mm-hmm. in fitness, health, and wellness. When did that happen for you? What made you think about doing this? How did that start for you? Were you terrified? And what would you say to people? Well, maybe we'll wrap up with that. So just so that you know where I'm going to lead you is, I want to hear how you got the idea, how you started, and inevitably, we want to close up the show with you telling folks that are potentially interested in doing this themselves, you know, when you look back at your old life before you did what you're doing now, would you ever go back? I'm guessing no, but what are the benefits for you? And also, what are the challenges? Because we don't want to make it sound like, oh, it's just so easy. Become an entrepreneur. It's so easy. And you'll just make millions of dollars and it's overnight. Just put up a blog. Mm-hmm. So dispel some of those myths, but tell us, when did this start and how did it happen for you?
Well, so like I said, I moved to New York City. I think it was 2004. So quite a few years ago, and was exercising, and I started to train with Team and Training for triathlons, and that's sort of when I picked up my triathlon habit. Going to the gym, taking spin classes, and you know, really fitness was a huge part of my life. But then I started to realize that I couldn't just be fit, I also had to eat healthy. At the time, I was what I call a junk food vegetarian. So I was working full time. I was actually going to school at NYU for my master's degree part time in the evenings, traveling for work. So I was doing a lot, and I was feeling pretty stressed, plus trying to navigate at the time, you know, being single and dating and trying to create new social network in a new city. So there's a lot going on in my life. And so I would just kind of rely on, you know, going out to happy hour and eating whatever bar food or grabbing a slice of pizza from, you know, going to work on my way to class or all manner of crazy stuff that we won't even get into, but was not eating super healthy. I realized I needed to start doing that. So I started taking a really big interest in nutrition and started to just kind of clean up my diet and started to, you know, really look at, okay, like I need to be eating more vegetables and I need to be eating just like real food. And I wasn't. And so I just started to go to the grocery store. I would take a weekly trip to Whole Foods, stock my cart with everything I needed for the week, and started making my meals at home and cooking at home for myself. And it was just super simple. I think I had like a George Foreman grill that my mom had given me that was like an extra, and a steam basket. I would steam my broccoli, and I would just make really simple things and bring it to work for lunch. And then I realized that my colleagues at the time, and like I said, this was like 10, 12, 15 years ago, like my colleagues were like, what is this? And I was, because I was eating things like kale and quinoa, which at the time, nobody really, that was not seen in an office lunchroom. and so they're like, what are you eating? And I would talk about what I was eating, and I was so excited about it, really passionate about it. And I found that I was more interested in talking about what I was eating for lunch than I was about what I was being paid to do at my job in the first place. And through some acquaintances, I had met someone who was what she called a health coach. And I was like, what is that? And she kind of explained to me what she did and that she had left a career in advertising to do this full time. And I was floored. I'm like, this is what I'm meant to be doing. I can't believe that I can actually get paid to do this and help people eat healthier. And this is what I want to do with my life. I just knew it. It would take about 5 years until I actually got the courage to go back to school and get my certification at the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. Also, you know, all the stories you tell yourself, I'm too old, whatever. I can't afford it. Crazy things, just reasons for me to not do it. But finally I had, you know, turned 30 and I said, this is it. It's now or never. I'm going to do this. And so I did. I went back to school. I figured out how to pay for it with my savings account. My parents, of course, at first thought I was completely insane. but now they're like, they think it's the best thing ever. But you know, I realized that I needed to believe in myself and I needed to do it because I knew in my heart that it's what I was meant to be doing. And so I just went for it. And I never set out to do it thinking that I'm going to quit my full-time job and do this full-time. I just thought, well, this will be a nice little side gig for me. You know, I can coach people on the weekends and in the evenings and I can keep my full-time job and it'll all be great. And so that, you know, that was sort of what I had expected to do. And then through just a bunch of different changes that were happening at the time in my personal life, and then also in my professional life, where the company I was working for was a startup. It was sold to a bigger company. There were a lot of changes internally. And I was just in a place where I felt like, you know what, I'm ready to try this and do just this for now and try this on my own for a little while. And it's been 6 or 7 years since I did that. And wow. I never went back to corporate. Do I miss it? Yeah. I mean, sometimes I enjoyed what I did. Like I did a lot of event planning and I really liked the people that I worked with. I worked with a really inspiring, smart team of people. I actually met my husband at where I used to work. And So, I mean, I miss the people and I miss some of the work that I was doing. There's a lot that I don't miss, and I think I don't miss more than what I miss. And so would I go back? No, probably not unless it was the right opportunity to do something. But I really love what I do, and I feel like I'm home, and this was what my calling has always been.
I have so many parallels with your story and mine, and I think you've kept it very real, because again, the reason that I'm going to be, and I'm actually going to start, I thought we would have this live by now, but that's how things go. You and I talked about this before we started recording, how things always take longer than you think. But I'm going to be interviewing quite a lot of females that have decided to do just what you did, which is pursue their passion in health, wellness, nutrition, anything in this area, and that have really loved that change, that transition in their life. Sometimes it means more money. Sometimes it means the same money. Sometimes it means slightly less money, but better life balance, better quality of life or life ROI, if you will. And all of those things are important and they're defined differently by each one of us. Fitfluential Radio fans, I have a gift for you. And by gift, I mean the gift that truly keeps on giving. Head on over right now to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up for our now live VIP Fitfluential membership. Our Fitfluential membership is not a diet program. It's not a workout program. You will have access to learning from some of the best trainers, dietitians, nutritionists, doctors, chiropractors, massage therapists, chefs, athletes, authors. I could go on and on and on. A lot of folks that have been on this show. What our Fitfluential membership is designed to do is meet you in the middle and provide all of the education and inspiration that you need, all of the community and accountability that you crave, and everything else that's going to keep you from being one of those statistics in January. All those people that say, I'm going to get healthier this year. I'm going to live my best life. And then by the third week in January, the second week in February, all of those aspirations are gone. Don't let that be you. Go to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up now. We're going to be covering one of the big lessons that I have learned is the importance of stress reduction for all of us, regardless of what our fitness goals are. And the number one, or one of the top, I'm going to say probably top three stressors in our lives, can be work-related or financial-related. So when you think about how much of our time is spent in the workplace and worrying about money, not having enough or needing, you know, anything to change in those two areas. That's why I think it's so important for me in this context to showcase people that have done that, because I certainly know when I founded Fitfluential, I had no idea what I was doing. And like anything, I think the more any of us hear from someone who's real, who's a real person that you can look up online, you can see them, and they're a real person who has been there, done that in anything, whether it's going back to school, like you said, finding out how you fund school when you're in your 30s or 40s or whatever, or if it's in the case of, like, I remember I shared on social media the first time I got Botox, and I'm like, here's what it felt like, here's what it cost, here's what it was like. So many people were asking me all these questions because they said, I don't feel like I get those answers seeing an ad. And whenever we can share a real experience, it makes it, I don't know, it's that much more accessible and that much more applicable to our own lives. So I love hearing what you said, that you kind of took a leap of faith and you went for it. Now, my next question for you in that case is, because like you, I was in corporate America. I was always in corporate sales for different organizations. And the last job that I had was at an agency where I actually learned a lot. But I remember thinking as well, when I put up the fitfluential.com website, this is something I'll do on the side. I figured it would take me 2 years to reach out to bloggers, get them into my little club. And then I thought, because I thought so little of myself and my potential, I think a lot of women think this way. So I'm curious if you agree, but I thought it'll take me 2 years. I'll get 150 bloggers in my network. Then I'll quit my job. I'll become a personal trainer, or I'll work at Starbucks because I knew Starbucks had benefits. And then I can, is that a dog outside? I think it is. I thought I'd do that. And I would do consulting with brands on the side. That's how little I thought of what I was capable of. And instead what happened is August of that year, I put the website up in April 2011. And by August, there is a psycho dog outside right now for everybody. Please forgive that. August 8th, I had to quit my job because we had 75 bloggers. We reached 5 million people collectively at that point. We had RFPs coming in on our website. I had no idea what I was doing, but we just took off. And so I guess what I want to say to everybody that's listening, you heard it from Marissa, you're hearing it from me. You don't necessarily have to have all your ducks in a row to get started. And it doesn't mean it's going to be comfortable, but I don't think, I know neither one of us would go back and change anything. We've learned things, but we wouldn't change. So my question to you, Marissa, is for me, it became very clear when I had to quit my job, when I was like, I can't do both. Was that a fast thing for you when you're like, okay, were you able to go from working at a full-time job to making, you know, an equivalent or at least a doable amount of income from your fitness, your wellness business? Or was it that you kind of had to build it up over time? What was it like? Because a lot of people I know are going to ask that, like, can I put up a website and start making money equal to my job in a week or in a month?
Yes, you can. Did it happen for me that way? Not at first, because when I first started out, I was charging less, right? And so I had all of these goals for, okay, I'm going to save up X amount of money. And when I save X amount of money, then I'm going to quit my job. But it didn't happen that way at all. I actually quit a long time before I got to that point. But then that was when the real work started, because before I had all of this cushy, you know, corporate income I could fall back on and health insurance. And then finally, all of a sudden, it was like, wait a minute, now I really actually have to do this. And I've got to, like, you know, bust my butt and make this happen, because here I don't have that income anymore that I can rely on. So now I actually have to, like, make it work.
So, you know what? You brought up two things there. And I think that would probably be, and I'm going to have you elaborate on that. I think this is very common for women. I know it was certainly common myself. It's taken me a while to make these changes. I've still made a lot of these changes in probably the past year, even in the past 6 months. Women definitely in any industry, and when they branch off into their own business, whether it's you're an individual and you're hiring, you know, you're bringing on individual clients, maybe your business is working one-on-one nutrition consulting, fitness consulting, having a coaching group, whatever, or if you develop a business, I don't mean that the former is not a business, but if you develop a company, let's say, like I did with Fitfluential, where we provide services to brands and packages versus a one-on-one type of a business, type of a business, women typically undersell themselves. They typically will charge less because we're apologetic, we don't want to ask too much. And secondly, I think I brought this up. I doubted my ability. I think you probably doubted your ability. Would you say that those two tendencies are typically what you observe about other women? And have you been able to get past both of those tendencies, doubting yourself and charging too little for your services?
Yes, I do definitely see that being the tendency, especially for somebody who's first starting out, you know, and have I been able to get past it? Yes, I have. I've done a lot of inner work and a lot of self work to be able to get past it. But not going to lie, I mean, there's still those moments where I'm like, you know, just that self-doubt creeps in. And so you've got to, it's a daily practice where you have to constantly work on it. I think, you know, you don't think you're ever truly cured of it. There are always moments that self-doubt creeps in. So
it's kind of a muscle, you know. I'm reading a really good book. A colleague recommended to me, incidentally, on the art of acceptance. And it's just wonderful. But they talk about the fact that, you know, your mind and your mindset, think of it like a muscle. The more that you work it, and the more that you, you know, condition your mind to think a certain way, to react a certain way, to perceive what happens around you and in your life a certain way, it's a muscle. So the more that you train yourself, the more that the better your willpower will be. I'm also listening to an audiobook on willpower, totally different authors, but a lot of these same premises are coming up. And it's something that practice makes perfect. And certainly I deal with a lot of women in my personal life and in my business life who have these tendencies, and I've made the changes, and they're like, "Oh, Kelly, how did you get to that point?" It took a while. And the first few times that I stood up for myself and I said, "You know what? I'm willing to walk away from this business and turn this down because those are not acceptable terms for me," or "No, I'm not going to work for you free for 6 months and think about having you pay me." Mm-hmm. It's hard because you think, "Oh my God, I need that money. I need that income. I need that revenue." The more that you practice that muscle, it becomes easier, and people will read confidence differently. They will interpret that confidence as, "That's the kind of person I want to hire," versus someone who's insecure and sells themselves short. Mm-hmm. So I love that you said it certainly isn't something, it's like fitness. You know, you can't go on a diet for a month and get fit and then you're fit for life. It's something you have to practice the rest of your life. And it's the same thing with your business. And I would assume, you and I kind of talked about us updating our websites, right? Before we got on. I mean, this is something that evolves as you do. I'm sure that your business is different. How long have you been in business for yourself?
10 years in total.
10 years. Mm-hmm. So I'm guessing that your business has completely, it's different now than it is when you first started, right?
It is different now. I mean, it's different now because I see my business as a reflection of who I am, and I'm a different person. I'm going through different things, or I've been through, you know, something that I hadn't gone through before. And so, yes, my business has completely evolved and changed as I have and as I've grown up, really.
Sorry, my phone was coming in through the computer. It's funny because you mentioned health insurance, and I made the mistake of going online to research some health insurance options, and one of my colleagues had mentioned Share Health coverage. And I'm just bringing this up because I want to save everybody that's listening. This was not planned, but it's a public service announcement. Don't look up health insurance online. Go to a broker. I made the mistake of filling out one of those forms, like, "Send me information on health insurance options." I probably get 50 phone calls a day from independent brokers all over the country offering health insurance. It's the worst mistake I've ever made. And I just had somebody call twice during our interview. So apologies for the little digression. But it's probably good timing that I'm getting these annoying spam calls at this time, because we're ending the close of our allotted time window. I really think, like, this is a really good segue. And Marissa, I do want to follow up with you, because considering I'm going to have this sub show on Fitfluential Radio that's strictly female health entrepreneurs, I feel like we kind of just got started, and you'd probably have some great pointers for other women that are looking to two things. You know, I want to have other folks that are interested in potentially, you know, leaving corporate America, if you will, and pursuing their health, wellness, nutrition path. I think they could learn a lot from you and your tips. And the more that we showcase different individuals and the paths and that they took and the lessons that they learned, all the better for more people. Mm-hmm. And the more people that pursue their passion are really loving what they do, that's going to benefit the collective as a whole, right? The more people we have to learn from, and the more that the general public can get healthy and have access to folks like you. And then secondly, I think that you have a lot to teach us based on, you know, as I look at your website, you're so good at what you do. I love that you talk so much about healthy eating and you break it down and make it so, I just said accessible way too many times in the past 5 minutes, but you know what I mean. So I'd love to have you back on the show. And I'm sorry, I feel like we're just starting, but we're at the end of our time. For today, for those people that are tuning in, we want to link up everything in the show notes. But for those listening, want to learn from you, potentially become a client of yours on the fitness and nutrition side. And B, for those that are looking like, hey, what does this look like? Somebody that does this for a living and pursues their passion for a living. What does their site look like? Where can people find you online?
My website is Marissa Vicario, Narissa Vicario, VICARIO.com.
Okay. And we will make sure that we link up to that in the show. And I will follow up with you afterwards because I would really love to have you back on. I think that you sound very calm and content in what you do. And that's what we don't hear a lot of when I interview people that are kind of like living that, you know, cubicle life and thinking that there's no way out. It doesn't mean that it's, and for everybody listening, I don't mean to suggest that becoming an entrepreneur and starting your own business means that it's easy. The people mm-hmm. that make their living online, whether it's publishing eBooks or whether it's having a coaching service or a membership site, they work. It is a good amount of work. It's a solid amount of work. It's an investment. This is not something that's like, put up a website. It just makes money while you sleep. That kind of stuff doesn't exist. It is a job. It is a lot of work, but it can be so rewarding. And I just hear that in your voice, Marissa. Like, I just hear this calmness, this contentedness, this, hey, I get value out of this because I'm providing value to other people. And that's awesome. So congratulations on what you've done. Love your site. And again, we'll follow up with you to get you back on the show for both areas, to have you educate on the fitness, health, and wellness side of things, and then also on the entrepreneurial side of things. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. If you have any questions that we can pass on to Marissa, of course, you can email us podcast@fitfluential.com. Everything we talked about today will be linked up in the show notes on Fitfluential Radio. And until next time, thank you so much for tuning in.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit fitfluentialradio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of Fitfluential Radio. Peace. Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.